Welcome back. Top of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast this Tuesday, October 4th, 2016. And comparing and contrasting the individualism as Hayek defined it in The Road to Serfdom, so to speak. That concept, as he put it, from elements provided by Christianity and the philosophy of classical antiquity, first fully developed during the Renaissance, that had since grown and spread into what we know as Western civilization, that being the respect for the individual man qua man, that is the recognition of his own views and tastes as supreme in his own sphere, however narrowly that may be circumscribed, and the belief that it is desirable that men should develop their own individual gifts and bents. Now, that has been assailed in so many ways, not the least of which Edward Bernays in Propaganda. You see this happening all around you. Do you see it? Do you feel it the way I do? It's overwhelming. Bernays in Propaganda, published in 1928, wasn't guessing, because he was hired by the very folks of whom he spoke. Chapter 1, titled Organizing Chaos. And by the way, we'll open up the phone lines if you want to comment. Again, we'll try to get to the calls early on in today's broadcast. Phone lines are open, 800-313-9443. Again, 800-313-9443. So Hayek pointing out this concept, first fully developed during the Renaissance, the respect for the individual man qua man, is the recognition and honorings of his own views and tastes as supreme in his own sphere, however narrowly that may be circumscribed, and the belief that it is desirable that men should develop their own individual gifts and bents, the freedom and liberty that goes along with that. There is a responsibility and an obligation that coincides with that. That, to me, lends itself or harkens back to Jefferson's words about educating the people, and again, a certain kind of experience that seems to lend itself to that, but we'll get back to that in a moment. So, in contrast, coming forward from that concept of it being desirable that men should develop their own individual gifts and bents, and that the individual man qua man, the recognition of his own views and tastes, are supreme in his own sphere, however narrowly that may be circumscribed. In contrast to that, Bernays wrote in chapter 1 of Propaganda, titled Organizing Chaos, the conscious and intelligent manipulation of the organized habits and opinions of the masses, the organizing, the regimenting, if you will, the organizing, the planning that Hayek spoke to in The Road to Serfdom. This regimentation, this unprecedented technocratic scientific dictatorship, the regimentation, the planning, as he put it, in chapters like chapter 4, the inevitability of planning, chapter 5, planning and democracy, chapter 6, planning and the rule of law. As Bernays put it, the conscious and intelligent manipulation of the organized habits and opinions of the masses, the regimenting, the planning, is an important element in democratic society. Those who manipulate this unseen mechanism of society constitute an invisible government, which is the true ruling power of our country. We are governed, our minds are molded, our tastes formed, our ideas suggested, largely by men we have never heard of. This was almost 100 years ago. Bernays uniquely capable at that time of wiring Uncle Sigmund Freud's research together with Madison Avenue marketing and creating what Adam Curtis described as the century of the self in his four-part BBC documentary series. The first part, part one, focusing on Bernays's influence over the course of the 20th century. And then from chapter one, the organizing chaos, which itself is an esoteric kind of nod, the conscious and intelligent manipulation of the organized habits and opinions of the masses. From there, we skip forward to chapter four, the psychology of public relations. And of course, public relations is the new term for propaganda, as defined by Bernays in chapter three. So from the conscious and intelligent manipulation of the organized habits and opinions of the masses being an important element of democratic society, according to Bernays, we skip forward there to chapter four, the psychology of propaganda or public relations, as he called it. How do we accomplish this? Well, as he wrote in the opening of chapter four, the systematic study of mass psychology revealed to students the potentialities of invisible government of society by manipulation of the motives which actuate man in the group. Aha. This research established that the group has mental characteristics distinct from those of the individual. Well, how convenient if you're trying to manipulate millions of people anyway, to do it on an individual basis would be problematic, wouldn't it? The research established that the group has mental characteristics distinct from those of the individual and is motivated by impulses and emotions which cannot be explained on the basis of what we know of individual psychology. So the question naturally arose, well, at least that's what Edward Bernays surmised and wrote. I think for any well-intended non-sociopathic or psychopathic individual, that question would not arise, let alone naturally. But Bernays wrote, so the question naturally arose, if we understand the mechanism and motives of the group mind, is it not possible to control and regiment the masses according to our will without their knowing it? And the next paragraph opens with the words, the recent practice of propaganda has proved that it is possible. This, again, was published in 1928. This in stark contrast to the ideals that gave rise to what Friedrich Hayek defined in The Road to Serfdom, the kind of individualism which, from elements provided by Christianity and the philosophy of classical antiquity, was first fully developed during the Renaissance and has since grown and spread into what we know, or what we knew, as Western civilization. The respect for the individual man qua man, that is, the recognition of his own views and tastes as supreme in his own sphere, however narrowly that may be circumscribed, and the belief that it is desirable that men should develop their own individual gifts and bents. Now, we come forward from there to the propaganda mill referred to as education. That was something that Bertrand Russell wrote about in The Impact of Science on Society, among others. The fact that we try to stamp out that belief in what is referred to as education, but is more appropriately known as propaganda. We try to stamp out the recognition of one's own views and tastes as supreme in one's own sphere, and the belief that it is desirable that men should develop their own individual gifts and bents. We try to stamp that out in very subtle, insidious, and subversive ways. the way that what is referred to as learning or memorization is conducted, the way that testing is conducted, to create this mass psychology, this herd mentality that lends itself to the opposite end of the spectrum, the kind of spectrum or the end of the spectrum that Bernays wrote about in Propaganda, to regiment the herd, not to encourage and celebrate the belief that it is desirable that men should develop their own individual gifts and bents. No. No, we're heading in the opposite direction, and we don't understand how that lends itself to a totalitarian regime by nature and the worst running it. And that was the subject of Chapter 10. Again, Hayek's The Road to Serfdom, Chapter 10, Why the Worst Get on Top. As Hayek put it, totalitarianism, we can already hear it argued, is a powerful system alike for good and evil, and the purpose for which it will be used depends entirely on the dictators. Well, not so much. As he pointed out in the outset of Chapter 1 and even in the introduction, we need to come to grips with the troubling realization that we'll accept any explanation except that we might be culpable in our own enslavement. The three main reasons, Hayek wrote, why such a numerous and strong group with fairly homogeneous views is not likely to be formed by the best but rather the worst elements of any society. By our standards, the principles on which such a group would be selected will be almost entirely negative. In the first instance, see, that's the problem. Again, the direction we're trending, we do not celebrate in America the development or the belief, first of all, that it is desirable that men should develop their own individual gifts and bents. That's not something that we even trouble ourselves with anymore in America. Let alone that folks would pursue a Jeffersonian education, if you will. No, don't exhaust me with all of the details and nuances of all of the different variations of thought and so forth that come along with that. Look what's happening in schools. Athletics, kind of maintained in some areas, including in some lower income areas, but art and music going away. Athletics maintained only as a convenient distraction to kind of perpetuate that. Why don't we, if we're going to socialize education, why don't we implement piano as a mandatory area of study, and the love languages, pick one of the love languages, and a little bit of Latin. Why don't we do any of those things? Nothing even remotely close to that. A study of the Bible for a foundation of virtue, morality, and religion, not to regiment and to make Christianity a state religion, but as an undergirding of virtue, morality, and religion, understanding. When you get to the Beatitudes, it's hard to argue that that's a bad way to live. As Proverbs puts it, a wise man makes even his enemies to be at peace with him, I think is how that is phrased. But that kind of Jeffersonian education is not celebrated. So we are trending the opposite direction, and in a totalitarian regime, there is a downward spiral that lends itself to pandering to the lowest and shaping the lowest common denominator, as folks like Hitler have mentioned, you know, him and Mein Kampf, for example. But the three main reasons why such a numerous and strong group with fairly homogenous views is not likely to be formed by the best, but rather the worst elements of society. What are those three reasons that Hayek mentioned? Think about where we are in America. You don't hear people thinking for themselves. You don't hear it in America. If you listen carefully, there's just regurgitated, vacuous rhetoric. It abounds. It's everywhere. It's in every corner of our nation. No one has a unique thought of their own. Listen carefully and see if you can find one in any conversation you have throughout the week. So the three reasons. In the first instance, Hayek wrote, it is probably true that in general, the higher the education and intelligence of individuals become, the more their views and tastes are differentiated, and I would say, I would add, in subtle and perhaps nuanced sort of ways. And the more accepting and tolerant we are of one another, again, that getting kind of to the Jeffersonian concept of education, enlightening the people, informing their discretion, one another, our own discretion, we become more acceptant and tolerant of those non-salvation issues, if you will. We're not so divisive and so quickly stirred to wrath and anger over silly little issues of no consequence or import, like Colin Kaepernick's decision to remain seated. I say remain seated instead of saying choosing not to stand. His decision to remain seated. Why do we get excited over these things of really no consequence? So again, in the first instance, it is probably true that in general, the higher the education and intelligence of individuals become, the more their views and tastes are differentiated, and the less likely they are to agree on a particular hierarchy of values. And I would add, they can discuss those things openly, though, because they're not afraid that they have no convictions of their own. That's usually what happens with folks who are so outspoken and aggressive and militant about their views. Usually what you find beneath that is that they really don't have a command of what they would call their own views. They did not investigate for themselves. These were, again, things that were handed to them. Again, it's rhetoric. And unfortunately, they become a hapless, unwitting dupe of that rhetoric. Very unfortunate, very tragic. Stick around, we'll be right back after this short break.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
You, your husband, your wife, your children, we all need food. And with dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Hey folks, John Stettmiller here. We at RBN understand, which is why I personally searched out a storable food company and one with similar core values to us here at RBN and of course you, the listener. Well, I found such a company. I'd like to introduce you to Numana Food Storage. Numana Food Storage, highly nutritious, GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high fructose corn syrup, has no chemical preservatives or soy, and Numana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. To back up my claims, we've made Numana Food Storage the exclusive food sponsor of RBN. Call 888-597-0775, 888-597-0775. Order online at numanarepublic.com. That's NUMANA Republic.com. Food storage you'll love to eat.
Conclude this point real quick, and then we'll go to the phones probably at the top of the next segment here, just to kind of draw these ends together. Think about this for a second. Edward Bernays coined the term public relations council. Skipping forward nearly 100 years now, see, that was the new term for propaganda, as Bernays put it. He, in chapter 3 of Propaganda, published in 1928, defined the term. He said, this new specialist interpreting the public to, well, manipulating the social machinery which controls the opinions and habits of the mass, as he said, was expensive. The folks who dictate, well, as he said, for this reason, there is an increasing tendency to concentrate the functions of propaganda in the hands of the propaganda specialist. This specialist is more and more assuming a distinct place and function in our national life. New activities call for new nomenclature. The propagandist who specializes in interpreting enterprises and ideas to the public and in interpreting the public to promulgators of new enterprises and ideas has come to be known by the name of Public Relations Council, due to the increasing complexity of modern life, he said. It is due, too, to the increasing dependence of organized power of all sorts upon public opinion. Isn't that interesting? You have to – there is a reliance on public acquiescence, as he said further in the next sentence, but there's a reliance on welding together people. And you hear about all these movements. Beware. Beware of the movements. Why do we have to be moving all the time? Sheep, by their nature, do not move in uniform and regimented fashion. They're off staring at shiny things, falling over in ditches, which is why the shepherd has the staff with the crook on the end of it, or the shepherd's hook, so to speak. So now we fast forward to from the creation of that term in 1928 to if you go to mycollegeoptions.org, for example, it has in a college search, communications and public relations colleges, nearly 1,500 colleges and universities with communications or public relations major. This is a career field, as I've mentioned previously, where we can propagandize our fellow man in America, our fellow American man or woman. So back to Hayek's The Road to Serfdom, as he said in the first instance, in general, the higher the education and intelligence of individuals become, the more their views and tastes differ. Whether, you know, however little or much. It is a corollary, he wrote, of this, that we wish to find a high degree of uniformity and similarity of outlook, we have to descend to the regions of lower moral and intellectual standards where the more primitive and common instincts and tastes prevail. This does not mean that the majority of the people have low moral standards. It merely means that the largest group of people whose values are very similar are the people with low standards. It is, as it were, the lowest common denominator, again, as folks like Hitler even mentioned, which unites the largest number of people. If a numerous group is needed, strong enough to impose their views and on the values of life on the rest, it will never be those with highly differentiated and developed tastes. It will be those who form the mass in the derogatory sense of the term, the least original and independent, who will be able to put their weight and their numbers behind their particular ideals. But how are they shaped?
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
My name is Don Wiskin, and at 42 years old, I suffered a massive heart attack, lost 35% of my heart to damaged tissue, and was supposed to spend the rest of my life on disability. What did I do? I took Extendivite, a garlic and cayenne mix of seven herbs which rebuilt my heart and gave me back my life. For over 17 years now, I have made this formula available to you so you don't have to suffer the same thing I did. Clean your blocked arteries and strengthen your heart and boost your natural immune system. I'm 60 years old now and I still work every day. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Would odors, mold, and mildew describe your basement or crawl space? It doesn't have to be that way. Transform them into a fresh, healthy, usable one with the technologically advanced Wave Moisture Control Units. The computerized operation maximizes moisture control and also expels harmful radon, combustion gases, and numerous other pollutants. Dehumidifiers are old technology that do nothing for air quality and waste energy. Wave units are intelligent, self-monitoring, do not need maintenance, and will save you hundreds in electricity. Wave units are still running effectively over 15 years. They've been tested and installed in public and military housing and by property managers nationwide. Buy a unit now, and if your home is not fresher and drier, you can return it for a full refund for up to 12 months. What have you got to lose? Call now. 1-888-618-WAVE. 1-888-618-WAVE. Or visit mydryhome.com. That's mydryhome.com.
Wave Home Solutions for a healthy, comfortable home.
As a regular listener to Republic Broadcasting, you certainly understand the times and circumstances that we are living in. You certainly understand that the good times are over, and you certainly understand what we are heading for. Though we do not know what exactly is going to happen, we must assume that it's going to be a disaster. Are you prepared for that mess? Go to www.bugoutpanama.net and get the necessary information on our growing community of awake and prepared individuals, just like you. At www.bugoutpanama.net, you will learn how we are preparing on our farm, Finca Bayano, for what is coming. Emigrate while you still can to our village, where survival is of the utmost importance. Prepare. Don't despair. At www.bugoutpanama.net.
Extendivite, a 7-herb combination of garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Extendivite is designed to strengthen the heart and arteries and help the body heal itself. Doctors are not able to explain the improvements they are seeing in their patients' health who are taking Extendivite. People who once needed more pills are now taking less and getting better. Due to the unexplainable improvements in their patients' health, more doctors are calling to order Extendivite for themselves. Help Extendivite make your doctor a believer. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
You know, just to conclude that point, the struggle, again, tying the ends together, the struggle that we lose sight of, Bernays is writing in 1928 about the creation of this term, Public Relations Council. Now, we fast forward, just the irony, the sheer irony, the conscious and intelligent manipulation of the organized habits and opinions of one's fellow man, of one's fellow American, is now a career field and pushed at some of the most venerated colleges and universities around the country and around the world, of course, but even presumably Christian schools, Missouri Baptist University, for example, Gonzaga in Spokane, where one would think if one apprehended Christian ethics and ideals, one could little embark on such a field and probably even want to try to see it dismantled. Yet we are drifting the other direction, since we are a less and less hardy, less and less rugged generation, sadly, it seems. Those other two reasons, they all go together. The reasons Hayek wrote Why the Worst Get on Top, the three main reasons First, it's the lowest common denominator. Second, which is in conjunction with the first, the dictator or demagogue will be able to obtain the support of all the docile and gullible. He has to swell the ranks of those, you know, the lowest common denominator. How do you do that? Obtain the support of all the docile and gullible who have no strong convictions of their own, but are prepared to accept a ready-made system of values if it is only drummed into their ear sufficiently loudly and frequently. Don't encourage folks to adhere to the belief that it is desirable that men should develop their own individual gifts and bents. Instead, try to regiment the masses, weld them together. And then the third, obviously, as he wrote, the third negative element is it seems to be almost a law of human nature that it is easier for people to agree on a negative program, on the hatred of an enemy, on the envy of those better off, than on any positive task. The contrast between the we and the they, the otherizing of people, the common fight against the outside group, those outside the group, excuse me, seems to be an essential ingredient in any creed which will solidly knit together a group for common action. It is consequently always employed by those who seek not merely support of a policy, but the unreserved allegiance of huge masses. Don't we see that in both the Hillary Clinton and the Donald Trump campaigns, among others? From their point of view, it has the great advantage of leaving them greater freedom of action than almost any positive program. Absolutely, because they don't have to speak to the positive program. And isn't that precisely what we see happening? Now, if Hayek is right, what does that mean? Doesn't that mean we're drifting toward running aground on totalitarianism, the likes of which the world has never seen? And how ironic, drifting there from this classical Renaissance realized concept of first fully developed during the Renaissance, as Hayek put it, of respecting, recognizing, honoring the individual man qua man, that is, as he put it, the recognition of his own views and tastes as supreme in his own sphere, however narrowly that may be circumscribed, and the belief that it is desirable that men should develop their own individual gifts and bents, that we should encourage one another, first do no harm. What a concept. And where are we today? Anyway, let's go to the phones and grab Renee in North Carolina. Renee, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Yeah, this is the first time I've heard the word fascism mentioned in a very long time. You know, people have forgotten. You know, Aaron Russo didn't name that movie Freedom to Socialism or Freedom to Communism. He named it Freedom to Fascism. I think he probably did that for a reason. And, you know, I liken it to, okay, let's say you were in a house and you felt that you were under siege. But you were so convinced that all bad guys use the back door, you only sat there with your gun, guarding the back door, and you left the front door wide open. That, I feel, is what alternative right-wing media has, like, lost its senses, and it is more like regular right-wing media. It's like they used to understand the right-left paradigm. They used to understand that both sides were the problem. In fact, if anything, I think the right wing is the bigger problem. Because when you look at the demographic makeup and who has held power in this country in the past, and look, Prescott Bush, who was a bad right-winger, made the mistake of trying to get a good right-winger who woke up, Smedley Butler, to lead a coup. If he'd gotten somebody else instead of Smedley Butler, it might have worked. And then, but see, people who lust for power don't give up. They just retreat and regroup. And the thing is then, okay, look which one, okay, so they elect a left-wing Catholic, first Catholic ever, and who gets shot in the head? Well, if that's who got shot in the head, who do you think did that? That, to me, me was another coup, okay? Because right after that, Johnson, because Kennedy wanted to end the wars, and right after that, Johnson, went back to that whole Vietnam War thing, which people forget. See, I hear people all the time, oh, the commies are going to get us. The commies are going to get us. And they also said they admire Smedley Butler. Well, duh. What did he say? How they used that excuse, which was a lot of times just workers trying to unite to get a living wage or something. But whenever they do that against more powerful property owners, they're often labeled communists. The same thing. Why did we go to Vietnam? That's why I never use these terms. Because why did we supposedly go to Vietnam? Well, we got to go over there. We got to go fight communism. Well, we know today that was all a ruse. The thing is, I feel certain that when we're taken over, it's going to be from the right. Because everybody is so big, because that's where most of the power and money is. Now, they do have to have somebody to play the other side, no doubt. But the thing is, if you're trying to figure out which side is the controller and which side is the controlled opposition, I don't see how you can come to any other conclusion. When you look at who tends to be assassinated, it's people on the left, okay? When you look at the demographic groups, who has less power and money, there is no doubt. But if you have to keep up the illusion that you have a choice, and if you're going to play the right-left paradigm, you have to have two sides. That's my dog ringing the bell to go out. I'm sorry. And so the thing is, I just feel we're leaving ourselves wide open. Because, so many people, I hear they're terrified. Some of the same people, because of this group identity thing, boy, people want so much. Because if I can see my group, my demographic group is good, therefore I am good. I belong to the white hat group, and those people on the other side are the bad guys in the black hat group. And generally that's going to be those with less power. Why can they get away with that? Because they can. Might makes right. And so, and we see this over and over and over again. Also, when you look at what was going on in New Orleans in that great book, Dr. Mary's Monkey, because I'm from Louisiana. I read that book. I couldn't put it down. And so, because I'm from there, and I was living there, and I was being told how, Garrison. Oh, yeah, I was very Republican household. When I told my mother JFK got shot, she goes like, so what, okay? And we were Catholic. And so, and Garrison was a kook, and Ralph Nader was a kook, and all this. And I grew up, I was there in that time. I've been to some of those places that they have pictures of in those books. I've known also how the Catholic Church over there, down there, does have links to the mafia. That's a fact, because of stuff I know and saw and heard as a child. But the thing is, and so there's enough evil in all groups. But I find generally some people, they just don't want to look, they only want to look at the evil in the other group. And when they do, we leave the front door open. And I just think it's the group that has traditionally held the most power who we're most vulnerable to. And, I hear some of the same people who they're terrified. Oh, they're going to come get us. They're going to come get us. They're going to put us in FEMA camps. Well, turn around and rationalize the evil that, like I say, us putting the Japanese in internment camps, or the genocide of the Native Americans, or that the Chinese built the railroads, or the enslavement of the blacks, and go, well, you know what, they make all kind of excuses. But when it turns out that they're starting to feel threatened at their door, oh, that's a whole different story. I don't know how to stop this, because, these people have professional psychiatrists and psychologists. Like you said, you keep talking about Bernays. A lot of these people in the alternative right-wing media, they think they're so damn smart they can't be played, okay? The thing is, if you don't think they don't have a psychological profile, with that they know exactly how to, like, stroke the ego and appeal to their bias and all that, you better think again. You know, and I just, you know, I'm so glad, you know, there's one person, you, that has, can create friction with the brain cells to see some of the things. I think the vast majority, they're either operatives or they're dumb. I just, you know, and I hate to be that frank about it, but, you know, everybody is so caught up in this whole Hillary Trump thing that I find it pretty pathetic, because I just don't see, either way, I just don't see, it's a diversion. It's just a diversion. What you think, Chris?
I think you have a valid point. You're onto something, several, but, you know, mainly, to be blunt and to be frank is accurate, I think. And again, in Jeffersonian fashion, you know, in the words of Jefferson from Diffusion of Knowledge Bill in 1779, he wrote, "The most effectual means of preventing the perversion of power into tyranny are to illuminate, as far as practicable, the minds of the people at large, and more especially to give them knowledge of those facts which history exhibits." And think about this in terms of what you're saying and where we are today in America. To give them knowledge of those facts which history exhibits, that possessed thereby of the experience of other ages and countries, they may be enabled to know ambition under all its shapes and prompt to exert their natural powers to defeat its purposes. Again, we forget the lessons of history, and if we listen to Jefferson, I think we'd be further down the road in spotting ambition under all its shapes, as he put it, and prompt in exerting our natural powers to defeat its purposes. It's just that simple. And we're so short-sighted, and we are just on a downward spiral, headed nowhere good. And the words of Solzhenitsyn, as I said earlier, come to mind. You said the parties, you raised valid points about that. And, you know, as Alexander Solzhenitsyn put it in the Gulag Archipelago, if only it were all so simple, if only there were evil people somewhere in that party or this party or somewhere, evil people somewhere insidiously committing evil deeds, and it were necessary only to separate them from the rest of us and destroy them. But as Solzhenitsyn put it, the line dividing good and evil cuts through the heart of every human being. And who's willing to destroy a piece of his own heart? And
And you know what I found? That it's so woven into people's ability to earn a living. Like you say, in the corporations, in the government, we have so many people that their lives are dependent on, actually they'll never admit it because they've been brainwashed, that they're doing good, because that way you trick people. They want to believe the lie.
Just like that degree, right? Just like the public relations degree, or the major, excuse me, in colleges and universities. If you're intelligent enough to pursue that course, I would presume that maybe even a majority of the folks in that curriculum would stumble across Bernays's words at some point and realize that they are propagandizing their fellow Americans. And how can they live with that? But like you said,
I know you know this, Chris, people see what they want to see, and they don't see what they don't want to see, because depending on whether it will advance them up the pecking order and is in their financial best interest, or if it isn't. That pretty much is the dividing line. And we have so many people that are benefiting right now from the current system, they're going to defend it.
Here's a scary realization along those lines. From Hayek's The Road to Serfdom, he opened in Freedom, Another Harbinger, with quotes from Lenin and Trotsky. The first quote from Lenin: "All of society will have become a single office and single factory, with equality of work and equality of pay." And the quote from Trotsky: "In a country, sole employer is the state, capital S, opposition means death by slow starvation. The old principle, who does not work shall not eat, has been replaced by a new one, who does not obey shall not eat." Stick around, folks. We'll be back with the final segment of today's broadcast coming up right after this short break.
My name is Chris. Since the 1970s, I have been actively making products available that support good health. What makes my juices flow is helping mankind get healthy. Today, I'm going to tell you about a product that will help your juices to flow. I am excited to recommend Dr. Miller's Holy Tea to you. Even if we are eating a clean diet, these impurities are entering our bodies. Holy Tea moves these poisons that are creating havoc with our health out of our bowels. It works on the whole digestive system. The five tasty herbs are combined to provide an amazing detoxifying and healing tea that will rid your body of the pollutants and soothe your digestive tract, and in some cases, help you lose weight. It is critical for our health to move all of the environmental toxins from our bodies. The Holy Tea can do that. As a hydrocolon therapist, remember, with every BM, you're supporting RBN. www.holytea.org. 800-326-2001.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
While the large majority of Americans have never heard of cryptocurrency, it is the medium of exchange of the future that has already begun. On the other hand, the large majority of RBN listeners are very aware of the corruption within the Fed and the trillions in counterfeit money and credit it has created. Well, would you like to do something about this? OneCoin, the fastest growing company of any kind in world history, will pay you to help do away with the Federal Reserve. Henry Ford didn't invent the automobile, but he surely developed many great improvements in the industry. In 1927, talking pictures made silent movies obsolete overnight, and email has practically done away with the need for a fax machine. With cryptocurrency, Bitcoin became the pioneer in 2009. But now OneCoin, as the first ever gold-backed cryptocurrency, has moved to the top of the industry in only 2 years, and its impact on the financial world could be devastating to the Fed. Bill Gates and Richard Branson and all the jillionaires are already acknowledging that this system of paying for goods and services is becoming what will be recognized as the new worldwide reserve currency. For more information, call Pat Shannon at 601-212-0911. Again, that's Pat Shannon at 601-212-0911.
Contrast to the Jeffersonian education, in conjunction with what I was saying, what you were saying, Renee, Alexander Solzhenitsyn said it's a universal law. Intolerance is the first sign of an inadequate education. An ill-educated person behaves with arrogant impatience, whereas truly profound education breeds humility. I would add respect and, at a minimum, deference. And that is precisely what I was referring to. So that's the kind of education that we need in America, not this continual dumbing down. Anyway, I appreciate your call, as always. And so thank you for your call and your reflection. I would add from Solzhenitsyn's The Gulag Archipelago, again, a couple of excerpts that I think kind of encapsulate the growing and inherent danger that we face in America today and that the world faces as a result. In keeping silent about evil, in burying it so deep within us that no sign of it appears on the surface, we are implanting it and it will rise up a thousandfold in the future. When we neither punish nor reproach evildoers, we are not simply protecting their trivial old age, the Prescott Bushes of the world, so to speak. We are thereby ripping the foundations of justice from beneath new generations. And Alexander Solzhenitsyn went on to write, "Thus it is that no cruelty whatsoever passes by without impact. Thus it is that we always pay dearly for chasing after what is cheap." And it seems in America today that we have a contrived propensity for chasing after what is cheap. Cheaper and cheaper. Just look around. As I mentioned yesterday, the company WeatherTech has an ad in Cycle World magazine, page 57, last month's edition, September 2016, page 57, talking about how they're doing their part. They hire American. And as I said, when did that become novelty? You watch the show Shark Tank, and that's what they're all about. They're all about cheapening things down for mass production to exploit a disparity. For what? What I would call sordid gain. Is this what it means to be American? So as Alexander Solzhenitsyn wrote in the Gulag Archipelago, "Thus it is that no cruelty whatsoever passes by without impact. Thus it is that we always pay dearly for chasing after what is cheap." I hope it was informative. As always, it truly is an honor and a pleasure. Stay tuned for Dr. Deagle. Take care. God bless, and we'll catch you on the other side.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.